Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Sensical, Common Sense Network's award-winning venture for children, now comes in two flavors. Linear with ads, on-demand by subscription without. Common Sense Chief Executive Eric Berger joins me next. Interactive TV player Gems Entertainment came back on the scene Halloween night with Silent Hill Ascension. Hear all about it from Chief Executive Jacob Nevick next half hour. And multi-channel bundle Plex has a new interactive wrinkle. Discover it together. You'll learn how it works and more during our second hour from Plex manager Ricardo Castro. Also ahead, is SAG-AFTRA ready to end its 116-day walkout? Dr. Phil's new TV frontier, our new classic trivia question, and that YouTube invading takeaway of the week. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, speaker and tune-in radio, and present the iHeartRadio Podcast Network and more than 40 other great podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Our opening half hour is brought to you by Liquid IV, fueling life's adventures and your well-being with real hydrating. Good to have you with us on this Monday after the day that we all had to turn our clocks back an hour, back on standard time. To all the New York City Marathon folks yesterday, those 50,000 runners, congratulations on an incredible time here in the Big Apple. And no matter where you are, we welcome you on this Monday afternoon to the program all about TV's current and future. 55 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. We have a big two-hour show for you, a lot of wonderful guests over the next 120 minutes, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's very simple. Pick up the phone and dial in. The number you use, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That's the number that gets you right in here, no matter where you are across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, speaker, or tune-in radio. And we've got our chat room business as well, so if you're shy about the phone, use the room. It's Simon Apple 04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air from anywhere, you can connect others from anywhere by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio speaker, tune screen. Follow the instructions. Others need me live with you. Common Sense Chief Executive Eric Berger joins us live from L.A. after these news notes. It's day 116 of the Screen Actors Guild after walkout, impacting the majority of scripted TV making. At this hour, after more than 2 days of deliberation, SAG-AFTRA's key officials remain undecided in public about accepting a last, best, final multi-year, that's 3-year deal with the TV Film Producers Alliance, or AMPTP, or staying on strike. Artificial intelligence parameters remain the sticking item, specifically how many and how widespread. More on the situation in our final half hour. We'll give you the opportunity to respond as well. Dr. Phil is moving into the TV network making business. Media Street Media is the new channel Phil McGraw and crew will develop and get to the public via cable operators, smart TV products, and multi-channel bundles 3 months from now. Essential news and entertainment, including a weeknight Dr. Phil hour, will be Media Street's main content street. The venture will be based in Fort Worth, Texas, and debut on February 26th. Now, quickies, The Bear, up for 13 first-season Emmy Awards, will be back for a third season next year. Hulu carries the FX-developed comedy series. Stranger Things, the first Shadow Theater experience, has an opening date and location, December 14th at the Phoenix Theater in London. Expect two more seasons of social influencer competition The Circle on Netflix. Both sets of episodes will be filmed in Atlanta, with set one premiering next spring. Big Three Basketball will mark 5 summer seasons next year on CBS. More than 20 games will show up on CBS or CBS Sports Network, including the championship matchup August 18th. All games are expected to simulcast on Paramount+. And Freeform will deliver a new unscripted series, Christy and Dave Dine Out, in primetime January 24th, the day after my B-Day. No fooling. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live from Los Angeles in an interview exclusive, the Chief Executive of Common Sense Network and Sensical, Eric Berger. Eric, thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's great to be here. I really appreciate it.
Bring us up to speed, Eric, on Sensical and why you decided a week or so ago to develop a second flavor, because it's been ad-supported all along. Now you've got this new SVOD, or subscription video on demand, flavor.
Yeah, so our goal when we started is to focus on the dramatic shift of viewing habits among kids to short-form, creator-driven content. There used to be a time when there were just a few kids' networks on TV. It was all pretty straightforward, but it's gotten much more fragmented and much more complicated out there. And so when we first went to market, we wanted a product that competed with the way the kids were consuming content. And the way that they're consuming it is on open user-generated platforms like YouTube and TikTok, looking at short form, looking at creator-driven content. And we wanted to be like for like with that, but to create something in an environment that was a little bit more vetted, a little bit more programmed, had a good advertising experience. It really was a walled garden approach for families and a great environment for advertisers. And that's been quite successful for us. But at the same time, there are always people to be reached on different platforms with different business models in different environments. And working through the Amazon channels on the subscription service was a way that we felt to reach new audiences with this different product and this different business model. At the end of the day, some people are comfortable with advertising, overwhelmingly, in fact, and some people are not. So this is a great product that has the same sensibilities of what we created on the advertising piece. It has the content that kids love from creators. It has studio content as well. And it's in an environment that's packaged for a variety of different ages.
How differentiated are the two services in terms of what people see? I mean, is it the service, the content that is on the initial service is also on the on-demand service, or do you differentiate it in some unique ways?
So a lot of the content from the brands are similar. You know, it's the content that people love in a different environment and in a different model. But there are some unique content to just the subscription service. So what we did is we looked out at the environment of other subscription services for gaps where people were doing searches on platforms like YouTube or like on Amazon, but weren't finding content that they loved. One example might be Bob the Builder, just as an example. And so what we went out is licensed a range of different content where possible that filled the gaps of what people were searching for that was different from the content that was on our ad-supported service. We also did a really interesting partnership with a company called DaVinci Media out of the UK, and they have some fantastic STEM content, science-based content for the older range of our kids, sort of 8 to 12. And that is unique to the subscription service. And so that partnership brings a whole breadth of shows, you know, over 15 to 20 different series onto that platform that is unique to the service. And it's a great mix of content. Kids love STEM content. And it's one of the highest consumption categories on platforms today. So we're thrilled to have that type of content on the service.
We've talked with DaVinci before, Eric, and I know that they have their own service available on smart TV sets and devices, plus the fact that they're working on interactive content. In terms of the DaVinci content you're taking, what are some of the key titles? And are you going to take their interactive content as well?
We're not taking the interactive content because the service is just a video service. And so the content is going to come and go. Science Max is one of the titles that's on there right now, but you're going to see content that is being refreshed from time to time from their different category. And so that's, you know, kind of exciting for us as they bring some of that over. They do have their own service in the, as you mentioned, both in the UK as well as in the US. And then, you know, one of the things we should talk about is that we're distinguished from the ad-supported, but there's two flavors of our ad-supported, and one of them is on demand, but we've really pushed into the fast space, which is the free ad-supported streaming television, the linear television market in the last year. And we have a big push in that area as well that's very exciting for us because, again, this is about reaching kids where they are, reaching families where they are on a variety of different platforms.
And we're going to talk more about the FAST services in a little bit. We're talking with Eric Berger. He's the Chief Executive Officer of Common Sense Network, the folks behind Sensical, which is now available linear as well as subscription video on demand. He joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour here on SmartBee Televised. We are just getting started. Big two-hour edition for you. Thanks for being with us. Stay with us because we got some wonderful guests coming your way throughout 2 hours. And we invite you to be part of the program. Be interactive with us. How you do that? You pick up the phone and call 646-652-2906. Or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We have another big show for you on Friday, a 90-minute one. You know the phrase, you can't go home again? Well, our first guest is somebody who has. His name is Derek Magyar. He's an actor and filmmaker. And a whole long time ago, he did an acclaimed independent movie called Boy Culture. Well, Boy Culture, starting tomorrow, is becoming a series called Boy Culture Generation X, which will premiere on various smart TV sets and smart devices. Derek will be with us, so will the writer of the series. That's in our first half hour. Then our second half hour, one of the best executive producers in television will join us, Glenn Mazzara, the man behind such shows as The Shield, The Walking Dead, the TV adaptation of Crash, the Oscar-winning Lionsgate movie. He'll be with us because there's a brand new series coming out next week on MGM Plus called Beacon 23. It's a science fiction series originally that was going to be on Charter Communications Spectrum Originals, that's video on demand. Then it became an AMC program, and now it's been moved to MGM Plus. Glenn Mazzara in our second half hour. And then it was over a year ago that we introduced you to a late-night show called Barmageddon on USA Network that was going on after Monday Night Raw. Well, it's coming back because they did very, very well, better than expected, and now its second season is about a week away, again on USA Network. Executive producer Chris Wagner will be our final guest on Friday. That's all coming your way Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, exclusively here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Eric, in terms of the overall content, what are some of the individual series that people like the most?
Yeah, so on the Da Vinci ones that you mentioned before, on the science side, it's Science Max, Nature Knows Best, SciShow Space, etc. On the sensical content, it's partly what you're seeing is a split between preschool and the not preschool. But overwhelmingly, there is video game content that is really very strong. So this is Minecraft content or Roblox content. It could be anything from something called, Fairy Horse Quest to, just a whole variety of what we would call the power gamer lineup on our show. So it's really interesting to see that kind of content playing out. But the problem is that, on other platforms, that content is not necessarily, let's just call it appropriate for kids. Even though 20% of the content on YouTube is game content, you really have to search through to find the stuff that is segmented tightly by age. So anyway, we're finding that. We're finding it from great creators, and we are, just having some good success with that. On the preschool side, you'll see things like Thomas the Train being really impactful. Pink Fong, is an important one. Odd Bods does really well. Bob the Builder, we mentioned, is also an interesting. So it's a lot of studio content that kids love with a little mix of the creator content on there as well.
You mentioned Roblox. Jason Kilar, the former head of Hulu and Warner Bros. Discovery, has just been named to their board. Do you think Roblox is going to become a television series, a television network that is available on smart TV sets and smart devices at some point?
It's hard to say because, I think of Roblox like YouTube in that it's thousands and thousands of games or experiences from different creators. It's not one thing. And Minecraft is closer to one thing, even though kids can create their own experiences on there. And so Roblox, I think, if they were going to do something like that, would have to feature brands that are very popular from their service come together in a video way. A little hard to wrap my head around at this point in time, but what is unbelievably popular is kids watching creators that they love playing Roblox, and they'll watch it for tips and tricks or to, understand just how to do something, how to solve something on the service. But whatever it is, they really enjoy that. So Hyper is an example of a creator. Hyper Plays. He's a Roblox creator that kids love that we have on the service that does really well. Big B Plays is another one, like the letter B. That's really popular that kids like. And so these are specific Roblox creators playing different Roblox games.
Since Sensical has been running for a couple of years now, have you started to get proposals from all sorts of producers, whether animation or live action, who do a lot of work with kids or kids and family programming about, hey, I'd like to do something for Sensical. I'd like to do something for Common Sense Networks. I'd like to do something for this on-demand service that you just got going.
We do, actually, which is encouraging. You know, there's been a lot out there about the shifts in original content production in the last few years. And we do see some interesting stuff, but frankly, right now, we haven't been in a producing mode ourselves. We've been licensing content. And the reason for that is there's so much out there to bring to the table right now into this service that we've put all of our efforts into scouring, you know, sourcing, vetting, finding, and pulling in content that's appropriate into this experience. Because for us, it's really all about the packaging and the creating of these tight content channels where kids can safely go down a rabbit hole. So if you like video games, or you like STEM, or you like DIY, or movement, or music, what we want to do is to create these great playlists or compilations of content from a variety of different creators that are completely age appropriate. So we segment the content into 2 to 4, into 5 to 7, and into 8 and up. And we've been scouring and looking for all kinds of video. There's only 40,000 videos that we have under license right now on the service. That's growing every day. And that's the stage that we're in today. Now, there'll be a point, as there are in a lot of media businesses, where originals may make sense. And at that point in time, we believe that working with the existing creators we have to create IP extensions from something that's proven and popular is likely the first step that we'll take in that arena.
Mm-hmm. What about YouTube talent? We're now really seeing a lot of YouTube talent looking into becoming TV talent. We've got services like Savio TV, which we had in this program last week, Dude Perfect, one of the top attractions on YouTube. They've got 60 million followers on their channel. They're now doing a television network. We're hearing other people are looking at doing it as well. We're going to have the takeaway of the week that we're going to be doing. We're supposed to do on Friday. We'll do it our final half hour. Deals with this whole, we call it an invasion of YouTube talent. Are you hearing from those folks?
Well, a lot of the content, in fact, most of the content that we have in the service are YouTube creators. So we do have studio content, mostly at the preschool range from Jim Henson, Sesame, Nelvana, Wild Brain, et cetera. But the overwhelming majority of the content we have are from YouTube creators, and this is because this is exactly the type of content that kids like today. If you look at the viewing patterns of kids under 13, they overwhelmingly are watching platforms like YouTube and TikTok more so than the large streaming platforms like Netflix and Disney. And on those platforms, they're not watching studio content, they're watching creator content. And so our whole objective here is to meet kids where they are. You know, we really want to find the type of content that's interesting to them, find the creators that are interesting to them, and collaborate with them. And so I agree with you that this is an exploding area right now. These are not people, this is not user-generated content. I would draw a line between user-generated content and creator content in that this is very professional, very entertaining, and oftentimes very educational content that is quite compelling.
In a moment, we'll talk to Eric Berger about not one, not two, but three Sensible channels that are currently running on smart TV sets, device, and multi-channel bundles. We'll get to that in a moment. Eric is the Chief Executive Officer of Common Sense Network that runs Sensical. That's a service that runs on linear, as well as subscription video on demand. He joins us live from Los Angeles half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Abbott with you from the other side of the US of A, which is New York, 54 degrees near the bottom of the hour. Let's hear from you in our many minutes with Eric. Call in 646-652-2906 or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And remember, you can catch me on Wednesday mornings on Sports Newswire, talking about the world of TV sports. Sports Newswire is a daily news information show from Sports Grid Network, available on smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles, including Amazon Freebie. That's 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, Sports Newswire. I'll be on Wednesdays on Sports Grid Network. Eric, talk about the three fast channels that you now have, and they are Sensical Makers, Sensical Junior, Sensical Gaming. What are they all about?
Sure. Well, Sensical Junior is a preschool channel, and it's our spin on this. There are a number of different ones that are out there, but none of them have really gone through the rigorous vetting process that we have. And so it's a fantastic collection of content that we think kids will love, and also parents will know that the children are being enriched while they're watching it. And this is everything from Thomas the Train to The Wiggles to Pink Fong, and you know, a lot of well-known IP shows that kids love. And for us, the whole key is to string it together in an impactful way. The next channel is Sensical Makers. And when we looked out at the FAST market and the linear market, there was a big gap that we saw. And that about 75 kids channels are out there. Most of them were all preschool animation, and nothing was really appealing to what we would call the bridge age or the tween age, meaning sort of 6 to 12. And so, you know, we created channels that were in line with this age, but also the content that they were showing that they liked on these platforms like YouTube. So the two biggest ones are maker-creator content and gaming content. The maker channel, which we say is sort of the wonder and the wow of the whole creator culture, is a mix of everything from crafts and STEM and even things like trick shots and like amazing feats that certain creators are doing. So in that category, you'll see shows like How Ridiculous Creators, but in the arts and the creative, you'll see things like Art Ninja, or we're lucky enough to partner with a terrific organization, 5-Minute Crafts, that are bringing some great craft projects. There's Goldie Blocks, which is a STEM-based science show as well. So a really terrific mix of creator content. And then there's Sensical Gaming, which, as we've talked about, gaming is one of the hottest topics that kids like today. The whole key is to find not only content that's appropriate, but in the case of this FAST channel, to find content that's just good TV. So it has to feel right. It has to feel like you'd want to lean back and watch it in the living room environment. And we think we've done a really good job with that. We've seen the content growing tremendously in terms of engagement over the last year. And this one is really connecting well with the older kids, as we had hoped.
Eric, we're at a point now where a good chunk, maybe more than the majority, of smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles have artificial intelligence software, which allow you to manipulate the set with your voice, with a voice remote, even body language, because of the ability to get audio features like Siri, Google Assistant, Alexa, et cetera, through the TV set. You don't have to use a separate smart speaker. You just do it right to the set. And we know that Samsung and LG have launched game hubs, in Samsung's case, using thousands of games, including Fortnite, including games from Twitch. You can play them on your TV set without a console like a PlayStation or an Xbox. Roku has introduced games like a video game version of Wheel of Fortune, one of Jeopardy. At some point, do you see interactivity to some degree being part of Sensical?
No, great question. Yes, I could see that down the line. And I think we have to find the right way in for us, because there's a lot of experimentation that's happening out there, and a lot of things work and don't work. It is great for younger ages for learning and interactivity. On the older side, I think we have to be cognizant of the fact that kids are using a lot of these much more advanced gaming services right now, Roblox in particular, far and away the largest one. So for us, it's probably more about participating inside of the platforms that are successful and where the kids are, and finding our unique way in, rather than aggregating or trying to interactive content into our service or trying to create a competitive interactive service.
The service is Sensical. It's owned by Common Sense Networks, and now it comes in several flavors. It comes in linear on smart TV sets, smart devices, multi-channel bundles. Some of those include fast services such as Sensical Junior, Sensical Makers, Sensical Gaming, and now there's a subscription video on demand service, which incidentally, in order to get that, it's $3.99 per month here in the U.S. of A. It's available, by the way, on Prime Video in the United States, and hopefully go to other smart TV sets and bundles down the road. For more details about the service online, go to www.sensical.tv. That's www.sensical.tv. And the parent company, www.commonsensenetworks.com. Eric Berger, thank you so much for joining us out in L.A. Congratulations on what your services have been doing so far, and hopefully much more to come. It's been great having you on and kicking off today's episode.
Really appreciate it. Great to connect. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Eric. Take care. Enjoy the week ahead.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Eric Berger, Chief Executive of Common Sense Networks, joining us live from Los Angeles. More tomorrow, we televised coming your way, but first words from our first great sponsor of the day, Liquid IV. Here's a new wellness routine that's easy to take and keeps you in hydrated shape. It's Liquid IV, a great-tasting drink mix in thick form that when you add with water, delivers hydration to your body faster and more efficiently than water alone. What's more, you get 5 essential vitamins. It's B3, 5, 6, 12, and good old vitamin C, and 3 times the electrolytes of traditional sports drinks. There's 12 flavors to drink from, all delicious and refreshing like Concord Grape, Passion Fruit, and Watermelon. And there's now a whole group of sugar-free drinks, including Green Grape and Peach. And Liquid IV is also gluten, dairy, and soy-free. So go to liquidiv.com to order, and you get 20% off using the promo code TELEVISED at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop for better hydration today. Just use the promo code TELEVISED, TLEVISED, at liquidiv.com. Liquid IV, fueling life's adventures with real hydrating. This is Tomorrow We Televised, the program all about TV's current and future. We are on usually Mondays and Fridays, 15 minutes in the Pacific, either for 60 minutes, 90 minutes, and sometimes, as in this case, a full 2 hours. Happy to have you aboard, signing up and with you live from New Web, New York. And remember, we would like to get you involved in the activity, so give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Remember, the program, your call is good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, or get into our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up our next half hour, we got our classic trivia question segment. We'll give you the answer to the question we posed over the last 2 weeks. We did not get a winner. And we'll bring you a new question with 5 prizes still in play. It's been about 2 months since we have had a winner. Let's make this coming week the one we finally do get a winner. We've got a great question for you. So stay tuned near the top of the hour. We'll have that for you as well. And remember, also coming your way in our next half hour, we will be getting into the situation with with Plex, the multi-channel bundle. They got a brand new interactive feature coming your way, and we will have Ricardo Castro, the director of product management at Plex, joining us. He'll be joining us live from Chapel Hill, North Carolina, the home of those Tar Heels of that University of NC. We're doing so well in football and basketball and all sorts of other sports. And also in our final half hour, we'll have the latest on the SAG-AFTRA situation. In case you missed the top of the hour, they still have not made a call at this moment whether they are going to continue the strike, whether they're finally going to accept the deal that they got from the folks at the Alliance of Motion Picture and TV Producers, AMPTP, before the weekend. And if anything does break between now and bottom of the next hour, we will bring it to you. So we want you to be in contact. And remember, if you can't catch us live, catch us on replay, available on available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Acast, Odyssey, Audible, Amazon Music, etc. We're on over 40 different podcast sites, so be sure to check it out. You'll find our replays there within minutes after we go off the air. In this case, before 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. East Pacific time. So be sure to check us out. When we come back, like I said, our classic trivia question of the week, and also coming your way, in our next half hour, we're going to revisit a topic we have covered several times on this program, a company called GenVid Entertainment. The first time we showcased them, it was due to a project called Rival Peak, a virtual world channel you could get on Portal TV. That was the former Facebook smart TV device. Now they have a brand new interactive TV project. It started on Halloween night last week. It's called Silent Hill Ascension. And it looks like it may get more circulation than first thought. I believe it's running on Twitch, which is available on some smart TV sets and devices. We know Samsung does have it. But we understand that it may be coming to another service, perhaps a mega content service available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. So Jacob Novak, the head of GenVid, will be joining us in the next half hour. Plus, like we said, our classic trivia question of the week will have the answer to the previous question we posed the last 2 weeks, and a brand new question, so get your thinking caps on. 5 prizes are still in play, and they could be yours if you're first with the correct answer. All that is coming your way after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're listening to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching over 95 million listeners around the world every month and growing. If you want a different kind of musical radio or audio experience, check out The Hypnotic Show. this Thursday night on BTR, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. That's the Hypnotic Show this Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, Best BTR comes your way 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our second 30 minutes of Tomorrow Be Televised Super 2-Hour Edition coming your way on this Monday afternoon. Simon Abbott with you live from New York, 54 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Welcome to those who just joined us at the bottom of the hour. And this half hour of our program is brought to you by Wild, the reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. More great guests coming your way in the 90 minutes ahead, and we invite you to be part of the program. So if you just joined in, join in the action. Interact with our guests and yours truly. Just pick up the phone and call in at 646-652-2906 or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Our next guest is someone that hasn't been on the program in quite a while, but this person is doing very well with a venture that's very interactive called Gendered Entertainment. We first introduced you to this program several years ago when they were doing a project called Rival Peak, a virtual world concept that was put together for Portal TV, the Facebook, now Meta, former smart TV or smart device service. The latest project, which premiered on Halloween night, is Silent Hill Ascension. And currently, I believe it is running on Twitch, and it may soon be running elsewhere, available on your smart TV sets or smart TV devices. Joining us live right now, it's great to have welcome back on this program, the chief executive of GenVid, Jacob Navik. Jacob, welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And Jacob, where are you calling from this Monday afternoon?
Midtown, New York.
Ah, excelente. Which, of course, was a hotbed yesterday with the New York City Marathon. Again, congratulating all the 50,000-plus runners who did their thing through all five boroughs of this fair city. So tell us about Silent Hill Ascension. What is it all about, and where is it playing?
Sure. So Silent Hill Ascension is the latest entry in the long-running Silent Hill series. Silent Hill has been a very popular Japanese video game and set of films since the 1990s. One of the biggest horror franchises in the world. And Silent Hill Ascension is the first time we've produced an interactive television series around this franchise. It's a very scary experience, definitely mature rated, which is different than several of the other products that we've done in the past. But we're excited to be launching it.
And how is it different in style, in format, in the level of interactivity from Rival Peak several years ago?
Sure. So, you know, we did three projects for now Meta, then Facebook, for their Watch platform. Rival Peak was the first, which was very much an experiment, but that did tremendously well with millions of people watching, where the audience for the first time was determining who would survive inside of the reality show. But the level of interaction was very light. You know, you had some daily decisions that would be made, and the characters would listen to you, and you'd be able to help them to a limited extent. But you weren't making kind of emotional choices for them or deep story choices for them. You were mostly helping them go through their daily survival ritual, if I'll put it that way. From there, we did Pac-Man Community with Facebook, which Mark Zuckerberg himself personally announced. We had 8 million players for that title. Did very, very well. And then we did Walking Dead Last Mile last year, which won our first award, which also had millions of people watching on Meta exclusively, where the audiences were making choices for which characters would survive to the end of this very intense Walking Dead project. But as mentioned, all of those were exclusives to Meta, so you had to have a Facebook account. You had to be watching on their own platforms, and it was primarily a mobile experience, which is quite different than Silent Hill Ascension, and happy to get into those differences if you're interested.
Well, explain what this is all about. I understand that J.J. Abrams' Bad Robot company, their games division, is also involved here.
Yes, so Silent Hill Ascension is a very intense streaming series, very richly animated, incredible graphics. If you look at what Rival Peak and what Walking Dead look like relative to what we've done, here in Silent Hill Ascension, where it looks real. They look like real humans, but they're CG. It's a massive graphical kind of jump in fidelity. And the Bad Robot Games team did all of the art, character, and sound design. So all of the scary monsters, all of the characters themselves, all of the freaky sounds that you hear are done by the Bad Robot Games team.
And how can the viewer interact with these various characters? I understand come from all over the world. So this is like this is not just one specific virtual world. This is like a whole globe, you know, we're all coming together thing.
Yeah, so there are kind of two main ways to be able to participate. One is on ascension.com, which is a free to access website where you can watch just like Netflix.com. You can watch everything that's happened. You can watch the live streams. You can solve puzzles. You can participate in character interactions. It's all free with the creation of an account. And the next is the Silent Hill Ascension mobile apps, which are available in the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store and are also free to download and install. In fact, they use the exact same code. So it's no different than Disney Plus or Netflix insofar as you can access it the browser web as well as on the mobile phones and very soon on television. So you hinted at this before, but we've already announced our partnership with Sony Pictures Core, where you're going to be able to watch and stream episodes in 4K on your TV, and we're going to be announcing Wednesday another major streaming platform that's also going to be streaming episodes of the series. So the way it works is you will be able to interact with and change the storyline of the series through the website and the mobile apps. And those changes that the audience makes become compiled into the episodes of television that you're able to watch on these streamers.
So right now, just to be clear for everybody, if you have a Sony smart TV set, Bravi or something like, or something else, another model's name, you can watch the show currently. And I understand that the show, incidentally, is running on at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on tomorrow night, correct?
Every night we have a live stream. And those live stream segments get compiled into a weekly episode. So imagine if, like, an episode of Stranger Things was aired.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Jacob. Jacob? Hold on 1 second, folks. I think we lost Jacob a moment there. Hang on. Let's see if he comes back on. Jacob, are you there? Jacob, for some reason, I think we lost your line. So I think you may have to – hold on. We'll try one more time. Bear with us, everybody. We apologize for the nap in the line, apparently. Bear with us here for a moment. Here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Let's see. Let's try it again. All right. Jacob, are you there?
Yep, I'm here. Sorry, where did I lose
you? There we go. Okay, go ahead. Repeat what you said a moment ago because somehow there was a snap in the line.
Sure. So the way that it works is that every single day there are scenes that are airing based off of a choice that the audience has to make that day. That choice may be, for example, how Astrid, one of our main characters, deals with her father, who she thinks is going crazy. The outcome of that choice that the audience makes airs daily at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific inside of the app. And after the audience has made all the choices for the week, we then edit that into an episode. And that episode is streaming to Sony Pictures Core, which is available on PlayStations, available on Sony Bravia TVs, and we're going to be announcing another streaming platform with 70 million plus MAU this Wednesday, where you're also going to be able to see those episodes.
So it sounds like that this project, if you have a smart TV set or smart TV device, there's a good chance that you are going to see Silent Hill Ascension at some point.
Yeah, you know, it's guaranteed every smart TV is supporting the platforms that we've got coming, and we're going to be announcing several more platforms in coming weeks as well. But this will be on some of the biggest streamers on the planet, and we're excited for those announcements on Wednesday.
We're talking with Jacob Navick. He is the Chief Executive Officer of Gen Z Entertainment, the folks behind Silent Hill Ascension, which is currently available on Sony's Bravia TVs and other smart TV sets. Other ones will be coming aboard shortly, as he just mentioned. They will make an announcement late in midweek about who else may be picking up this service, maybe make a content service or two or more. So Jacob joins us, by the way, live here in the Big Apple this half hour on Smart Beat Televised. Simon, I'm with you live from Nueva York as well. 55 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Let's hear from you. Make that call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up in our second hour, we will have, live from Chapel Hill, North Carolina, the director of product management for the multi-channel bundle known as Plex, Ricardo Castro. They've just launched a new feature, an interactive wrinkle, you might say, called Discover Together. We'll talk about that. And then our final half hour, we'll have some thoughts about the latest with the Screen Actors Guild after strike, now in day 116. We are still waiting for them to say whether or not they will accept the new multi-year package of contract offers from the Alliance of Motion Picture and TV Producers that was given to them before the weekend just passed, or whether they will continue on strike. Also, we'll have our takeaway of the week. The YouTube TV invasion, we promised that to you on Friday. Unfortunately, we ran out of time because we had two great guests on for an hour on Friday. So we'll have that for you as well. Also coming up in our next half hour, our latest Up segment. Remember on Friday, we had Amy Schatz from the new HBO documentary Stand Up and Shout, Stones from Philly High School. Well, we have an update on that situation, an Up segment on it coming your way in our next half hour. Jacob, what's been the viewer reaction so far to Silent Hill?
We've had a million people pre-register for the app, which basically generated massive influx of users that we were almost unprepared for. We were very, very surprised at the sheer number of people that we were getting in. And so the first basically week or so for us has been managing that scale and all of the bugs that come at an unprecedented scale. But we're excited for that. We're excited at taking in a lot of the community feedback and making sure that we improve it day by day. So, you know, usually you'd build a television series and you're 3 years in advance and then you'd shoot it the year in advance and then you do it, you know, a year post-production. And here we've written it and we're shooting it and then every day we're changing it based off of user feedback, and every day we're adapting and amending and tweaking it. And so it's changing day by day based off of what the audience is interested and excited about. And I think that there hasn't been an experience like that done for a scripted series where it's literally the audience that's building the show, and we're seeing a lot of enthusiasm around that concept.
Were there any issues with the Writers Guild or the Screen Actors Guild after because of the strikes?
No, because the writing team here is a games writing team. It's not a television writing team. So we fall under the games category, and there hadn't been anything happening on that when we were writing the series, which was, you know, about a year and a half ago.
What has surprised you about how the viewers interact with these characters in terms of determining the outcome of specific situations or the outcome of a particular storyline or the outcome of what kind of characters these people are getting into or interacting with?
You know, all throughout the promotion of the title for the last year, people kept saying, well, you know, what if the trolls come and they try to kill every character, or they always pick the negative outcome. And we'd ran Walking Dead last year, which similarly had a lot of life or death choices, and the audience always chose to save a character, always chose life. And if you think about that, like, imagine if you could save some of your favorite characters from Walking Dead, would you do that? And I think that audiences in most cases do, because they fall in love with characters and they want them to stick around. And so I kept responding to this question of, well, you know, what if they choose to kill every character, with I think actually the opposite will happen, and the opposite is also a problem insofar as they will always choose for these characters to live and survive and get a happy ending, and that's boring. And that is, in fact, what's been happening in our first week, where we're seeing most of the time, if not all of the time, the audiences are picking the good outcome for these characters. There may be people who are there to troll, but they get trounced by the sheer wave of people who want to see a good response. And I think that part of my challenge is going to be, how do I make it more interesting than everything is good for all these characters all the time? I refer to myself as an evil dungeon master in that way. And so we'll be tweaking the algorithms and tweaking the inputs to make it more difficult than just choosing good each time.
Sideroll, by the way, just joined our chat room. Thanks for coming aboard. You have a question or comment, put in the room or make the call, 646-652-2906. How fast do you have to turn around an individual day's situation to then turn it into the weekly episode?
So at the start, it's pretty simple. Like, the number of branches is pretty limited, and so we can get things done, you know, within a couple of hours. But starting from this week in week two, and then especially starting from week four, and there are 16 weeks of the main storyline, and then we're going to kind of rerun the what-if seasons after that, so it'll keep going for months. But starting in week four, all of the branches start to nest. So, for example, last night we saw the first stream error where a choice made last week is now compounded by a choice made this week. So if there were three choices last week and three this week, there are 9 different outcomes. There is a decision in week four that there are 45 different outcomes. And so that starts to become a massive kind of content management process and challenge and QA challenge and everything else. But, you know, we'll learn as we do it.
Guess what, Jacob? I think we have a call. We're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? Go right ahead. You're on the line. Hello. Okay. We'll try again, see if that caller can get through. And again, Sideraw is in our chat room, so if you have a question or comment, put it in the room or make the call, 646-652-2906. The last time you were on, Jacob, we still were getting into smart TV sets and smart TV devices, and interactivity was still a bit on the primitive side. But now we have a situation where, because of artificial intelligence, we have critical mass in terms of these smart TV sets and smart TV devices like Roku and Amazon Fire TV, sticks and so forth, that have the ability for people to manipulate the set with their voice remote, with body language, because they can use Siri, Google Assistant, Alexa to communicate through the TV set as opposed to a smart speaker. We now see a number of the smart TV set makers like Samsung, as I mentioned Eric Berger last half hour, and LG now have game hubs where you can play games on a TV set without having to use a PlayStation or Xbox, another console. We're seeing telehealth, telemedicine, interactive ads, tele-education services start to happen. Where do you see interactive TV going? And at some point, will GenVid adopt the ability of people to use the TV set directly or the device directly to play along, to be characters, and so forth?
The number one challenge is not getting the interactivity on the television. That's pretty much known. I can do it right now. The number one challenge is input. Voice works for incredibly simple decisions. Pick A or pick B. Doesn't work where, for example, in Silent Hill, we have puzzles that you have to do each day, which are intense kind of mobile design puzzles and swipes and button presses that you've got to mash furiously in order to help a character. There is no way to do that through your voice, or if there is, it's going to be incredibly difficult to both parse and to figure out. And the standard TV remotes are not set up or capable of doing the input in a way that would feel satisfactory to a user. So for now, my assumption has been interaction through the mobile device where you can have a better touch input and visual representation on the television. I think at least for the next few years it will stay that way. The question is, does input evolve and how?
Could artificial intelligence provide a solution or the solution to perhaps the ability of people to interact with their sets or devices at a more advanced way, which is what you're talking about?
I think that AI might be able to interpret the input that you want better, but that latency around that input is still incredibly difficult. And so, for example, when you do one of these voice assistants, you know that there's a processing time, right? And sometimes you're okay waiting that half second to that second. In our product, if you're not interacting within a fraction of a second, you've already missed the interaction. And so it's not going to be fast enough there. There's a latency problem. We also tried to use a series of AI for content creation, and we threw all of it away. It just wasn't there yet. We tried to do AI camera direction. It was terrible. The camera was pointing at the wrong thing or boring. We tried to do AI character movement and animation, and the character just kind of got up and walked around the kitchen five times, and it was also dull. And so at the end of the day, we handcrafted everything. It doesn't mean that there isn't potential for this in the future, but we invested a lot into trying a lot of the AI technologies and found that pretty much all of them come up short still.
Well, you never know. Generative AI is making a lot of advances. We have mentioned this a couple of times. A few weeks ago, Amazon, at a press conference at their headquarters outside Washington, D.C., announced that starting before the end of the year, people will be able to use generative AI to create their own art museum, create their own artwork to put on the television set, put calendars on, put notes on, send different people, and maybe even check their thermostat or do other things with their smart home or apartment. Whether it's checking in on the video doorbell or the home security camera or triggering the washing machine through their television set. So you never know what might be possible.
I agree with all of those. Like, all of those use cases are perfectly valid for, like, I have an individual non-ultra low latency need that isn't about creative decision making. That makes sense to me. So we are using generative AI in one place, which is in filtering for the names and for our chat. In fact, we got overwhelmed by it on our first couple of days because we had so many people fall in that it overwhelmed the system, and we weren't able to do the API calls fast enough so that we ended up having problems. But, like, it has proven good at being able to detect whether a user is or is not a troll and or is using offensive language or not. But what we found is that it still can't scale to like 100,000 people spamming it in the same second.
Mm-hmm. So where does GenVid go from here? Obviously more Silent Hill Ascension, and what else is coming up?
We've announced two other titles. So we're doing Borderlands Echovision Live with 2K Games and Gearbox. That's from the famous Borderlands franchise that has sold 75 million copies of their games, plus there's a movie coming out next year from Paramount with Jack Black and Kate Blanchett. And we've also announced with Warner Brothers that we're doing DC Heroes United, which Jim Lee, the president of DC, has personally announced, and which will star a new Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman building a new Justice League for the first time in Earth 212, which is a multiverse they named after our company being headquartered here in New York.
And in the case, will this follow in the situation with Silent Hill, where at some point they will run in some fashion on smart TV sets and devices?
That is absolutely the plan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. By the way, how are people who are working with you, like Bad Robot, like Warner Brothers, the DC side of Warner Brothers, and so forth? How are you getting along with them, and how are you incorporating their suggestions, their thoughts into what you are doing?
So let's separate parties like Bad Robot, which are kind of the creative consultants working with us, versus the licensors who kind of own the intellectual property, which is what, you know, Warner Brothers is. In the case of DC and Warner Brothers, we pitch them the creative concept, and then they approve or change or, you know, give us feedback on all of it, and we've got to match with their requirements, right? So, like, we get feedback from Jim Lee that our Superman's red collar needs to be changed this way, or he wants a color difference, or he wants XYZ, we make that improvement, we make that change, right? So that's very much the license holder is in control of their IP, and we get to play in their sandbox, but we only can do so with their approval. In the case of a party like Bad Robot, we empowered them to come up with the characters and the monsters. And so they go and they create it. We receive it. We say, great, we love it. And, you know, they move forward on making it. So very different kind of set of processes. And to be clear, we've never really pushed back on a lot of the creatures or concepts that Bad Robot presented us, because we brought them on specifically for their creative expertise. And I try not to have our company kind of be the arbiter of other people's artistic creative. We tend to focus more on the interactive design elements instead.
Silent Hill Ascension, it is now playing on Sony's Bravia smart TV set. And as we said earlier, there's going to be an announcement midweek about other places you can catch it through your television set, and we'll keep you and we'll let you know on Friday's episode who those situations are. If you want more details about Silent Hill itself, go to ascension.com. That's how you can also be involved in the series interactively. And for more details about Jacob's company, go to www.genvid.com. That's www.genvid.com. Jacob Navid, great to have you back. Congratulations on your new project, already off to the races, and hopefully much, much more interactive TV and other things, too, coming your way.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure, Jacob. Take care, enjoy, and keep on cooking interactively.
I will. Take care, everybody. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. You too. Jacob Navid joining us live from New York. He is the head of GenVid Entertainment. Classic trivia question. Brand new question coming your way. Get your thinking caps on. We'll get to that after we get to this message from Wild. Are you out to make your personal well-being more natural and eco-friendly? Then give Wild a try. Wild deodorant has natural ingredients that freshen you anytime for any occasion. And Wild comes in a variety of scent and color combinations, jasmine and mandarin blossom, or fresh cotton and sea salt. There's no harsh chemicals to fret about. If you want a refill, that gets delivered right to your door. I use Wild all the time. It's become my new deodorant of choice. It's great. Comes in a wonderful case that's refillable and works beautifully. So if you want to go Wild today, with a special discount of 25% off your first order, all you got to do is use promo code SIMONAPPLE04 at checkout. Go to wearewild.com and use the promo code SIMONAPPLE04 at checkout. Enjoy. Try Wild, the reusable, refillable natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. Time now for our classic trivia question of the week. Nobody got the question that we posed on this program over the last 2 weeks. Let's give you the answer off the bat. The question was, name the 1990s USA Network series, it's a drama hour, featuring a California-based biker beach patrol. The answer, Pacific Blue. Yes, it was sort of the Baywatch of USA Network. Ran for, I believe, 4 seasons on the air. Pacific Blue, that was the 1990s USA Network drama hour concerning a California-based biker beach patrol. Now time for our next question. And again, the same 5 prizes that we've offered the last 2 weeks, they are still in play. The free Redbox Movie 9 Us, courtesy of Crackle Connect. The free Uber card from AMC Networks, 2 wonderful musical CDs, Lifetime Women in Rock, featuring such artists as Cyndi Lauper, Annie Lennox and the Eurythmics, Linda Ronstadt, Michelle Shock, Laura Branigan, and more, and the Chicago classic hit CD with If You Leave Me Now, Saturday in the Park, Feeling Stronger Every Day, and many more great musical favorites. And we also have the book from Jeff Melvoin, the writer and producer of the Emmy-winning series Northern Exposure. He was on our show a couple months ago, where he showcased his brand new book, the great bestseller, Running the Show, Television from the Inside. All that could be yours if you know the answer to this question. What was the musical group featured on Fernwood Tonight? Remember the show that was a spinoff of Mary Hartman, which featured Martin Mull playing the smarmy host with his own Tonight Show kind of format? What was the musical group featured on Fernwood Tonight and the sequel, America Tonight? What was the musical group featured on Fernwood Tonight? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, when you email, use and let us know your name and your mailing address. So if you're first with the right answer, you will win. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and Twitter or X. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. One more time the question. What was the musical group featured on Fernwood Tonight? Again, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. That is your gateway to a win. And in order to win, you got to play in. So do so, and all the very best. That is the end of our first hour of Tomorrow Be Televised. And this hour has been brought to you by Wild, the reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. And by Liquid IV, fueling life's adventures and your well-being with real hydrating. Coming up in our next half hour, we will have more about the situation with SAG after an AMPTP. We've got our up segment about Stand Up and Shout, stories from Philly High School that we featured on this program this past Friday, and what has come since, including a screening at Urban World over the weekend. And we have our takeaway of the week about YouTube's TV invasion. First, we will have, live from Chapel Hill, North Carolina, the product management director at Plex, the multi-channel bundle, Ricardo Castro. He will join us shortly after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. This is the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, to get it rather reaching over 95 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Tonight, you can get one of BTR's most popular shows around, the Key of the Unplugged Show. It's music, entertainment, a whole lot more. The Key of the Unplugged Show, one of BTR's long-running hits, tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best BTR always your way 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to Marvy Televised, our second hour of two, coming your way this Monday afternoon from Nueva York. And welcome to those of you that are joining us at the top of the hour. Sam Abman with you live from Nueva York. And this half hour is brought to you by BlendJet, the portable blender letting you make fresh smoothies, shakes, or mixed drinks on the go wherever you go. 53 degrees at the top of the hour. Glad to have you with us and joining us for the second of 2 hours of this program. And we have another great guest coming away this half hour. So be part of the program. Give us a call. The number you use, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching the country around the globe. You're on Blog Talk Radio, speaker, or TuneIn Radio. And if you're shy about the phone, no problem with us. Use the chat room, SimonApple04. You'll find that at the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Use the phone or the room. Either way, you can interact with us. You can interact with others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on that Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio speaker, TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions. Another people live with you. One of the longer running of the multi-channel bundles out there is Plex. Thousands of titles, lots of channels, and now they're doing a little interactive feature called Discover Together. And joining us live to talk about it live from Chapel Hill, North Carolina, the home of the Tar Heels of that university in that city, we've got the Director of Product Management, Ricardo Castro. Ricardo, welcome in.
Hi, Simon. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Before we get into Discover Together, bring us up to speed on Plex. How is it doing? How many hours of content do you have? And how many channels do you have in your multi-channel bundle?
I mean, it's quite a lot. It's kind of hard to measure. But I would say we've got about 50,000 titles in our ad-supported streaming on-demand catalog. And I think we have hundreds of channels on our FAST catalog at this point, probably 200 or so, if I was guessing at this point. But overall, it's a ton of content. Not only that, not only the content that we have on the service, but Plex also allows you to search for any content, any sort of movie or show in history that we have in our catalog, and allow you to kind of see how many, you know, episodes it has, allows you to kind of say you've watched it, add it to watch list, and so on. So it's not just the catalog that the content that we have on our own service. We also allow people to kind of see the content anywhere, and we will also show you where it's streaming. So if it's streaming on Netflix, if it's streaming on Disney Plus, you can find all of that on Plex as well.
With this incredible explosion of new networks, a lot of them original, a lot of them from independent players, including people in organizations of color, how do you determine what new services you will put on your bundle?
I mean, I think that's a good question. I think a lot of it depends on kind of the good fit between the partners that we're working with and our own service. There's a lot of conversations, but we have to recognize that there's a little bit for everybody out there. So it's not just that we're curating for one specific audience. I think Plex has taken the position that we want to find the best content for you. And so for you, that might be a certain set of channels. For me, it might be a different set of channels. So overall, what we're trying to do is kind of match the right content to the right audience.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about this new interactive feature that has actually been in test for about a year called Discover Together. First of all, what is Discover Together? How does it work?
So Discover Together takes all of what I mentioned before, all of the content that exists out there, and it adds a social layer on top of it. So basically think of it as a social network within Plex. So Plex has had the concept of friends for years, especially in our personal media products. And what we've done is we've enhanced that to allow people to share what they're watching, share what they've put on their watch list, share their ratings, and also kind of connect with others by sharing what they have, who their friends are. And so the overall goal for this is to really allow your network of friends and family to help you find the best content for you. So you can go in and kind of see what your friends are watching, what they've rated, and you can ask them questions, you can share content with them. And so really it's adding this kind of social layer to everything in a way that really is core to the Plex product.
So it comes across as sort of the X or the Facebook or the Instagram or the Yahoo of search or discovery, particularly when it comes to connecting with others.
Absolutely. I think it's a little bit of that. And really, we felt that we were the best positioned to do this, because if you take a look at the kind of the system that's out there, you know, the industry, there's nobody else, there's no other company that could really tackle these types of problems like we can, right? If you look at Netflix or Disney, they're going to promote their content. They're not really interested in helping people find content that might be on a competing service. If you look at the, you know, streaming platforms, the devices like a Roku or a Samsung, you know, they're focused on the TV. But there's nobody really tackling kind of a little bit of everything across the board. And so we felt like we were kind of in the best position to do exactly that, which is not only add that sort of social network on top of it, those social recommendations, but to bring it to our customers at the time that they're sitting down on the couch to actually watch content. And for us, kind of when we brought it all together like that was when it kind of really felt magical, because at this point, you're sitting down, it's Saturday night, you're not sure what you want to watch, you can see exactly what your friends have watched and recommended, and you can make a choice right there as you're about to hit play on that remote.
Now, how is this wrinkle triggered? Do they go to a separate screen on Plex through their smart TV set or device? Do they use a voice or their voice or a voice remote? Give us a sense of the process that the viewer has to do to connect with what their friend, either their friend or what their friend is watching.
So we try to make it as easy as possible. So when you, if you are an existing Plex user and you open up your app, we have a little flow, a little onboarding flow that will take you through and explain the features and help you get started. Once that's done, like I said, it's really kind of core to the product. So anytime you look at a particular movie or show on Plex, you'll already see which one of your Plex friends have watched it or taken some sort of action on it. And if you don't have any friends, we've also made it very easy for you to add and start building your network. And this is something that we've supported across all of our devices. So that's TV, that's mobile, that's web. And in terms of the input, I think similar to what your last guest mentioned, we are relying mostly on mobile for kind of long-form input. So we allow you to comment on what your friends have been watching or rating. That sort of comment entry is something that you can do on our mobile app or you can do on our web browser. But we're looking at the TV mostly for the viewing experience, so you can see all of the network activity on your TV, but you're going to be interacting a lot of it on your phone if you're going to enter that long form content.
How does it show up on the TV screen? It's like a pop-up? Is it like a line at the bottom of the screen, like a bottom line on ESPN or ESPN2? Just describe the look a little bit.
Oh, so we've introduced a few new pages within the app. So if you go to Discover within Plex, you'll see a new activity feed. That activity feed has a chronological list very similar to, you know, what you might expect on Facebook or X of what your friends are doing, what they're watching, what they're rating, what they're watch listing, and so forth. We have another page called People, which allows you to find friends, respond to friend requests, send friend requests. We offer some friend suggestions. And then we've also introduced a profile, so your own profile, where you can see key stats for yourself, such as how many movies and shows you've watched on Plex. You can take a look at your entire watch history. So if you wanted to go back and kind of see how your own viewing habits have changed, you can do that as well. And then we also feature a few other bits of content on that page. So basically that profile is intended to look to you how others would view it on the service. So you'll see your watch list, you'll see your ratings and your friends. And one key thing with all of this is we've allowed our users to choose how much they want to share with others. So we're not necessarily opting you into sharing all of your watch history right off the bat. Your data is private until you choose to open it up. And at that point, we hope you would share it with your friends. But it's really up to you to decide how much or how little you want to share.
We're talking about Discover Together. It's the new interactive feature on Plex that was launched at the start of the month. And we're speaking with Ricardo Castro. He is the product management director at Plex. He joins us live from Chapel Hill, North Carolina, the home of the NC Tar Heels. So great in football and basketball and all sorts of other sports down there. And he's joining us live from there here this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Happy your way wherever you are on this Monday afternoon. Simon Alvin with you live from New York, 54 degrees at the top of the hour. And let's hear from you. What do you think about this feature? And you've been interactive TV overall, too. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. First of two episodes we're doing this week. We have another big one coming your way on Friday. And you know the old saying, you can't go home again? We'll introduce you to an actor and filmmaker named Derek Magyar, who, in fact, starting tomorrow, is going to do exactly that. Back in, well, I would say like 15, 16, 17 years ago, he was the star of an independent movie called Boy Culture. That movie is now turned into a television series called Boy Culture Generation X that premieres tomorrow on various smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Derek will be with us along with the writer of the series. That's in our first half hour. Second half hour, the executive producer of the new MGM Plus series, Beacon 23. Originally supposed to be a Spectrum original series on video on demand, then on AMC. Now it's definitely going to be on MGM Plus starting next week. The popular executive producer of such shows as The Walking Dead, The Shield, Crash, and others, Glenn Mazzara, will be our second guest of that day. And from Barmageddon, the series that premiered in a big way late night last fall on USA Network, it comes back next week, probably be on after Monday Night Raw. Chris Wagner, the executive producer, he'll be our guest wrapping things up. That's all Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, 90-minute edition coming your way this Friday, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Ricardo, let me ask more about the history feature, because I understand that you can do this when you click into any movie or show on Plex and you search. And people will see whether you have friends that have already watched, either watched the program or rated the program. That's a piece of content. I know it's still early. You know, it's only, 6 days into November. Are you getting any sort of trends as to how people are using this service?
I mean, I think right now it's still very early. Those trends, I think, will come. You know, if I look at our own experience through the beta process, we were in beta for about a year, and it was interesting to see how folks kind of adopted the features over time. And I think right now the general user base is kind of doing exactly what we did early, which was start exploring, right? Start kind of poking around, start trying to understand kind of how things are working. And so our early trends in terms of the data is all very positive, right? We've seen people go through, they're opting to share their data with their friends, which is the very first step, and they've gone through that onboarding flow, and I think we had about 1 million people go through in the first 24 hours, that first day since release. So overall, all the early signs are very positive, and I think one of the key things we've tried to do with this kind of network is really be mindful about how we're growing it, right? This is not a thing where we could launch all of the bells and whistles and throw everything at all of our users all at once. It's right now it is a lot of new features that we've introduced, and we're going to see how people start playing with it, start adapting to it, and what are the things that they're asking for. Like, you know, are people rating more than their watch listing? Are they watching things more than their rating? Is there something we might have missed? So we really want to hear from the community and kind of push the direction of this into something that kind of matches what folks are looking for on Plex.
Do you see some interesting offshoots from Discover Together that involve, let's say, advertising or involve ordering products and services? We know now that, as I mentioned in our first two half-hour segments, that we're at a point now where The majority of smart TV sets and devices were used by 90% of all U.S. households now have, because of artificial intelligence software, the ability to use Google Assistant, Alexa, Siri, other voice features, using your voice, using a voice remote to manipulate what you watch and how you use the television set. And given the fact that we're now starting to see interactive ads, the ability to, say, pick or choose, let's say, one of two or three ads to see at any given time, and maybe even order products and services and maybe have them delivered same day or next day, is that something that Plex is looking at maybe as an offshoot of Discover Together?
I mean, I would say there's a lot of potential there long term. It's not something we're immediately looking at, but I think, you know, like anything else, we'll look to see how the industry evolves and whether or not our users were asking for that. And if they are, we'd probably take a good look at it.
Mm-hmm. So you could see this perhaps now discovering what people are watching in terms of film and television or services, but also maybe other aspects of their lives. You know, if they're interested in sports betting or they're interested in a civic product or they're interested in a particular concert they'd like to go to or restaurant. Or an attraction like a museum of natural history or a Smithsonian institution, a landmark along that line?
I don't necessarily think we're going to take it in that direction. I think Plex is focused on entertainment. And so for now, we are really focused on making this the best place to talk about the movies and shows that you care about with other people, with other fans. And so I don't want us to kind of lose focus on that because this is just the beginning of this kind of venture into this space. And we really want to be the best in class in this area first before we even ever consider anything else like that.
Yeah. This was a process that you had in beta for over a year. Along that time, what did you learn about the interest level of people in a service like this? And what did you also learn about?
Simon, I think I lost you. Simon, are you there?